If you had all the money in the world, what would you be doing? Are you letting money dictate your potential? Do you allow money or the lack of money to decide what you want and what you can do? These are a few of the topics that we discuss in this episode. If you are ready to come with an open heart and mind to unlock your potential and remove some of the blocks money has placed before you, and allow for more growth and more abundance, we'd like to welcome you to this episode of You Already Are. Hello and welcome to another episode of You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson, and I am so excited to have Lark Galley. That's how you say your last name, right?
That's correct.
Great. I should have clarified that. But yes, Lark Galley with me. And we are so excited to share a message with our listeners. I'm just going to do a quick intro to Lark and we're going to jump right in. So Lark attended the University of Utah, where she graduated magna cum laude and earned an undergrad degree in political science, international relations, and a master's degree in economics. She worked for the Utah International Economic Development Office before switching into a career in sales, where she earned multiple awards, including the number one global sales rep for a Fortune 500 company. That's amazing, and I want to know more about that. Yeah. Lark has 30 years of sales experience, is a graduate from the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program, was a professional sales and business coach, and the former owner of a trucking company. She is now a published author, speaker, and coach, helping others to fulfill their life's purpose. And now she started a new journey about understanding our wealth, understanding wealth and where it comes from and, you know, our accessibility to it. So I love that.
That's right.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. So Lark, why don't you share a little bit of your story and what got you on this path?
Okay. So as you mentioned, you know, I grew up in poverty. And so the way back in the day, the only way really that we understood how to get out of poverty is through education. And so my education was very important to me. And then as I'm having a family, young kids, like I'm in the corporate world, my hair's on fire, I'm going to be the number one and the best at everything, you know, which was exhausting. I will say that right now. And I got out of corporate back in 2011 and I went off on my own as a consultant. And then later I inherited my father's small trucking company that I streamlined to 1 hour a week. And I was like, okay, now I'm bored. And I started doing business consulting and all that. So up until 5 years ago, right about this time in March 2019, that was what I thought my life was. I was very happy. I was fulfilled. I was earning money. I was traveling. I had all the things. I thought that was what it was. And then 5 years ago this month, my 19-year-old son took his life. And this caught us completely off guard. He was a freshman at the University of Utah in the engineering program. He had friends, he had hobbies, he had things to look forward to. And yet just a situational time when everything came together. And I think he just thought life was too hard and just decided to, you know, opt out. And this crushed our family. It completely devastated everyone in the family. And it caused me to step back and look and say, all that other stuff that I thought was important, it didn't matter to me anymore. Like pushing for business and coaching and in the business world and just doing all of those things that I thought it did not matter. And I really had to take a step back and decide what was I going to do and how could I continue to go on?
Wow. That's one of those life-changing moments of what really matters. What's the point?
Exactly. Well, and then I started thinking about this and I'm like, okay, I have a choice. I have a choice to either not talk about the suicide, which, you know, it's there's a lot of stigma around suicide. There's shame, all of that. Like, what will people think of me if I talk about it? They'll think I'm a bad mom. They'll think my son has issues, you know, all of these things. And I finally realized that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about my son. It was about the opportunity I had to help other parents and other kids so that their families didn't have to go through what our family was going through. And that was kind of scary. You know, I started to stand up and talk about suicide and all these things. And most of my family was not supportive of me. They were like, be quiet, don't talk about it. But my healing was I had to talk about it. I had to make people aware that this is a big concern nationwide for the people out there. And especially as parents, like, I promise you, whatever struggle you think you're having with your kids, nothing compares to like losing them, especially to a suicide. And so I started to go on this journey where I started writing a book about my experiences. And it was very interesting because I included the first part of the book talks about my childhood, how I grew up with my father who was undiagnosed bipolar and all of the instability that created in our family and the poverty and moving every year. And because of that, I grew up being very structured and going almost to the opposite where I was too structured and extreme for especially my son. You know, it was very hard for him. I'm like, clean your room, do this, you know, and all these things, very structured and militant. And I compare how I parented before to how I parent now, and it's completely different. Before, I was like, you will do this, you know, all of these expectations. And now I realize that as a parent, my job is to guide and to be an advocate for my children. It's not to be a judge. It's not to put pressure on them. It's not to create more hardship in their lives. It's to help guide and love them no matter what.
That's really important. I know we had a guest a few weeks ago who shared one of the best insights I've ever had into parenting. And she was like, she started out and she said, I parented my kids all wrong. She's like, I parented my kids how I felt I needed to be parented.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what we do, is we parent our kids the way we feel like we should have been parented. And that's not what our kids need. We need to see them for what they need. And we need to parent them how they need, not how we need.
Right. Well, especially in this day and age, it's very different from how I grew up, especially, you know, before social media and phones. And even with you, you know, while you might have experienced that as you got a little bit older in your, you know, years, certainly our kids are more exposed to so many things, so much pressure that we were not exposed to. And we have to step back as a parent and say, what is in the best interest of my child? And I will tell you, social media is not in the best interest of your child. And that's a hard thing when you're, you know, your 12-year-old, your 9-year-old is saying, I have to have a phone. I have to do this. I have to do that. No, they don't. And really take a hard look at what you're allowing them to be involved in. And then the pressure, the undue pressure, this perfectionism that we as a society might perpetuate and say, you know, you have to be the best at everything, or you have to do this or that. Kids can't live under that. That's not a way to raise your child.
Yeah, it gets to be too much. And I like that it seems like there's more awareness around that, in the sense that like people are understanding that social media is very harmful, especially for young kids. The younger you start, the harder it is. And
yes.
I know there are lots of examples of children who grow up and their parents were what they would consider strict. Like they wouldn't let them do sleepovers, or they were strict with their eating, or they're strict with curfew or whatever it is. And they look back on those times as they've gotten older and they are grateful for their parents for setting those boundaries. And I think, you know, it's boundaries. You set boundaries with social media and electronics because you love your kids. It's like with my kids, sometimes I struggle because I'm very health conscious. I'm very much like, I know what's good and bad for my children. And because I know what's in food, I get very, I don't want to say controlling, but I get very like, I don't want my kids eating this stuff because it's just, it's not good for them. And I can see the results when they binge on candy and stuff. I'm just like, they become not themselves. They're just little terrors now. My kids are very young. My oldest is 8, but I can see that. And so as a mom, I'm like, well, my children aren't at the stage where they can monitor themselves with that. They just see candy as the immediate gratification, as it's yummy. They don't see that there is a health concern if you consume these types of foods. And so as like for me, it's my job to help them until they're ready to understand that concept. So I love that this social media is another thing, is like kids don't understand how dangerous it can be. And so it's my job as a parent to help protect them and guide them through that, so that when they get to the point where they have the ability to make those decisions, they understand the guidelines and how to keep themselves safe, right? And protect them. Because social media can be uplifting and beautiful and wonderful, but you have to learn how to use it that way, because otherwise you're going to get overwhelmed.
Exactly.
With all of that.
Right. Well, especially when they're young, you know, they're comparing themselves to other people. And I mean, think about this, as women, it's often our body image, you know, the society really portrays. And if we as adult women struggle on social media, what do you think is happening to our 14-year-old, right? Or the 16-year-old or whatever? It's difficult. And so we need to help them understand how to navigate many things, but especially social media.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about more of, like, you continued your journey. You wrote this book. It was very healing process for you. And I'm sure it's probably helped dozens, thousands of people with their suicidal journey as well. So what next? What happened?
So I was very involved in the suicide prevention community. I was on the Utah Governor's Task Force to help military families, our family's military family. And, you know, I got a community advocate award, you know, just like all the things that I did in corporate, you know, I'm out changing the world.
You did it for this. Yes.
Yeah. For suicide prevention. Awesome. And after 3.5 years, I got burned out. I was exhausted. I was the person people would call when their child was struggling, or their friend's child had just died, or a nephew, a family member had died. I was getting these calls all the time, and I'm not a therapist. I'm like, and it was just so difficult. I could lead them to resources, but I was just drowning in all of this grief and depression, and I was not doing well myself. And so here's the tie between us, is I was actually with your mom, Alyssa, and we were talking, and your mom's great. She, we joke around, she sees dead people.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, your son's here. Would you like to hear his message? And I'm like, I would love to hear his message. And just so you know, over the course of he's passed now 5 years, he has come to me in different forms through other people giving me the messages, through talking to me or giving me signs. Different things have happened, and I felt him very close to me when I was writing the book. So she offered, hey, I have a message. I'm like, yes. And she said, he says you need to stop suicide prevention work. It is killing you. And I'm like, oh, I know it's hard. I know it was killing me. It was just crushing my spirit. It's very hard and dark work. Important, but hard. And this is the funny part. She said, oh yeah, he says those kids aren't listening to you anyway. That was so funny. So brutally honest. That's my son, right? He's like, they're not, mom, don't stop going to schools. They're not listening to you. And so I'm like, well, it's my penance. It's my way of making up for failing you as a mom. And he said, no, that's not what you're here to do. You're here to help other moms. I want you to talk to the moms so they can be the ones to talk to their children. And I'm like, I don't even know what that looks like. What are you talking about? And so then I spent all of winter 2022 into 2023, just like almost doing nothing, just trying to regroup. What am I here to do? What's my purpose, etc. And I was binging a lot of material on YouTube, and one thing that I came across was this thing called Your Life's Work. And I latched onto that and I read it, and it was amazing. My life's work, I am just here to help others simplify their lives. That's my life's work. And I thought, I love this. I think too much we put this grandiose idea in what we're here to do, when in reality, you know, we're here to do a piece of the work for, and everybody does their piece. If you remember, I told you I had streamlined my father's trucking company, so I was working 1 hour a week. Like, that's really easy for me to do. So I started helping and coaching women in different ways to help them create a better balance in their life so that they could be better moms to their children, and help them have the foundation so that they can help their children when they're struggling. So I've been doing this for about just over a year now. And as I've been progressing on this, I had a very strong prompting from God that God said, okay, I need you to talk about money. And I'm like, what? What are, what? I want to talk about peace, love, and joy. And God told me, people cannot get to peace, love, and joy if they can't feed their families and they can't pay their mortgage. And I thought, wow, that is so profound, because especially right now in this economic upheaval that a lot of people are experiencing, that is very true. And if you're struggling financially, you're not going to have that peace in your home. You're not going to be the kind of parent you want to be. You're really stressing over things. And if you remember, I told you at the beginning that I grew up in poverty. And so I like to eat. I like having a nice bed. And so that was like a really big focus of my entire life, was how to get out of poverty and how to overcome a lot of these blocks that I had experienced as a kid and into adulthood, and really changing my money story. And so I thought, well, okay, if we're going to talk about this, I'll go in. It seems so counterintuitive, because all of the wealth that I have achieved, anything I've done in life because of my son's suicide, it doesn't mean anything to me, which is why it's so ironic that I'm the one helping people, you know, to say, okay, let me help you with your money story and overcoming these blocks. But just remember that it doesn't really matter, you know, that it's not the number one thing that's the most important thing in life. It really isn't. It's just a lesson for us to understand how to use money. It's an eternal principle, and it's one of the things that we're here to learn. And so I did this webinar recently called Identifying Your Money Blocks. I had 150 people sign up, and people were on there, and they're making comments, and they're responding. And then after, this was just a few weeks ago, and then people start replying to me after the fact. They're starting to do what I suggested they do. And one woman said, like, oh, Lark, you're the queen of money. You know, I've already in 3 days shifted my money mindset. She's like, things are totally different for me now.
Wow.
I had another woman tell me that she started doing the exercises that I told her about, and within 1 week, she got a $500 a month raise from just, I know, like, she's like, I'm $500 richer every month because of this raise, because I started doing these exercises. And that's what I love to hear, is that if I have some kind of wisdom that I can share that can help people where they are in their life shift what's going on with them, so that by doing that, they can have more peace in their life, that makes me happy. And so that's what I've been doing.
I love that. I love it when you receive that direction and you're like, wait, really? Like, that's what you want me to do? And
then you do it. My life. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, what? We're doing this now? Oh my gosh. Seriously?
Okay, here we go. Yeah. And then look, and then you were given all of these people who were like, I needed this. Look, and yes, it's one of those moments of like God showing you were supposed to do this. And you hang on to those moments, I feel like, when it gets harder and it doesn't feel as uplifting all the time. But then you remember, like, look at what you've done. Like, look at the people you've helped and the joy that you've brought into these people's lives. It's one of those just moments that, I don't know, for me, as I'm going through this roller coaster of life, of following promptings and following my own calling, it's like I get this almost like backup and support of like, yep, you were supposed to do that. You did what you were supposed to do. Good job, you know.
Good job.
And then, of course, it gets hard. And you do that, the whole slide thing where it gets really hard. And you just have to hold on to the fact that you know, because you were given those, like, pushes of, like, you were supposed to do this. And you just have to keep pushing through these hard times because you're called to do this. Just hang on while it gets hard. And then you'll receive those things again, like those, you were supposed to do this. You were right. Like, it's okay. So
I call that inspired action. You know, if we're asking God what our direction is or what we need to do, or if we get some kind of prompting, and usually that prompting is not, I need to do this. It's you need to do, you know, it's you. It's not me. I'm not. And oftentimes it's a thought out of nowhere. Like, I know, I'm like, I did not put that thought in my head.
Right.
But if we follow that, then we will be blessed with more instruction and more direction, right? The other thing to remember is that each of us have something that we're called to do on this earth. We each have our special purpose. And everything you need to accomplish that purpose is already inside you. And so you don't have to say, well, I don't know how, or I don't know what to do. If you just get a prompting to do something, take the first step and the rest of the steps will come as they need to.
I love that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think we all have a greater purpose. And as we follow, as we are staying connected to our spirit or the universe, as we, you know, we receive those promptings and we just do them, we don't think about the how. I think so often I think about like the promptings that I get, like this podcast, for example. I got this prompting to make a podcast. I'm like, what? How? I've never done anything like that in my life. And you just got to get the how out of the way. You know, like they're valid concerns a lot of times. And sometimes just writing them out, talking them out, getting them out is all you need to do to let them go. And then you just say, okay, well, I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And then you get all of this backup from the universe, from God, that's like, yes, I got you. I'll make a way. Like, you will have a way to do this because I told you to do it. So there will be a way. And I love that. I love hearing your story because it gets me all jazzed and vamped up about my own.
Awesome. No, I absolutely believe that. If you just move forward with your life's mission, and sometimes we don't understand what this little piece, what is the podcast? You know, what does that matter? Well, it might help you grow in some skills because you might have something bigger that you're meant to do down the road, or it might be a message that you share changes somebody's life. It might be the people you come in contact could change your life, could change their life. We don't know all the reasons, but if we just have the faith to take that first step, it will work out.
I want to share an experience about this. Okay, so I've been doing a lot of reading. So ever since I started this mindset journey, it was about 6 months ago, I feel like I've just been, like, so many things have just been flowing to me to kind of keep my progression going. And I've just received all these uplifting things. And my husband has been a factor of that. And he found this several series of books that he's been reading. And one of them is called 10X is Easier Than 2X.
I just started listening to that. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I started listening to it and I was just like, what's my greater purpose? Like, I thought I knew what my greater purpose was, but he's like, you just got to pick one thing. And I'm like, but I have so many things that I want to do. There's so many things that I want to get better at. And then I realized I went through a very intense mindset vacation, if you will. I went to like a mindset retreat and it was intense and beautiful and wonderful. And I grew because of it. And I realized during this trip that I needed to let go of trying to find that thing that, oh, you're a writer, you're a singer, you're an author, you're all of these things. I need to let go of that. That's not my greater purpose. And I've been given talents and I can share my greater purpose through those talents, but that doesn't mean I have to pick one of those talents to go 10X, you know, because that was really what my issue was, like, what am I going to go 10X in and all this stuff. It was really getting muddled. And then I just realized, like, no, like, I want to bring joy to other people. That's what I feel like is my calling. And I have so many avenues that I can take to do that. But I don't have to pick one of those. I just have to get really great at bringing joy to people. And that can be through so many different avenues. And of course, maybe that will progress into something more and bring me into a different space. But like right now, that's what I feel like my calling is, to bring joy to people. And you, it sounds like your calling is the same thing of or similar, you know, like you want to help people find their greater purpose. You want to help them see their potential and their possibilities. And I love that. And money is a huge part of that.
Yeah. So many times people feel like, oh, I can't do XYZ because I don't have the money. And I'm like, it has nothing to do with the money. If you want to do XYZ, you will find a way. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And we so often put money as our God instead of God as our source.
Okay. I want to pause that because that's big. That's huge. Because it's like, you know, a lot of times we say that and we're like, well, we don't worship money. And we, you know, it's like, no, but you trust money.
So.
And you base all your decisions on money rather than God.
Right. Right. So I had a very God-fearing woman come to me last year. And I said, okay, let's do a money blocks breakthrough. Let's talk to me. She's like, well, I can't take my kids on these outings because we don't have the money. Or I can't do XYZ because I don't have the money. Or I can't this because I don't have the money. And I'm like, no. So I said, so what you're telling me is that money, you're making money your God. And she was so offended. She's like, oh, I would never do that. And I'm like, well, that's what you're doing. You are making it so that you're deciding, you're saying whether or not you can do something has to do with money. And I said, that's not the case at all. And then I told her several things that I manifested without any money. Like, so a year and a half ago, I heard from a friend who was going to lead a retreat in Costa Rica for retreat leaders, right? And as soon as she told me that, I was like, oh, I am so there. I want to go there. But I don't want to spend the money to go there. I want to go there for free, right? So I just started like thinking about it every day, and I would go in my mind to Costa Rica and all these things. A couple months after she told me, she called me up and she said, hey, I need some help at the retreat. Would you like to go and all expenses paid? And I'm like, yes, oh, I'm there. So I spent, May of last year in Costa Rica over my birthday. And it was amazing. And that's what the whole point is, like, I didn't tie it to money, right? I'm like, I can get there, and just what you believe. So then this friend I worked with, her, this client that I had, the one with the belief that money, you know, I had to help her shift and say that, understand that God was her source. She, you know, she was also very reliant on her husband for the income. And he decides how all the money is spent, you know, what things are, how things are. She has to go to him for any money at all. And so working on helping her understand that God is her source, not her husband, not money. And so last November, she decided, you know, she has four kids. She's thinking, I would really like to provide a nice, easy Christmas time for my kids. Instead of getting money from my husband like 2 weeks before Christmas and having to rush and stress and find gifts, I would love to just have $1,000 right now before Thanksgiving so I can start Christmas shopping and it will be good. And so she went to her husband and she said, could I have this money now? And he said, no, I can't. It's not in the budget right now. I can't do it yet. She's like, okay, fine. And so then she started to turn to God and she made God her source. This was on a Saturday. And she said, God, I would really like $1,000 in cash to be handed to me in an envelope. Handed to me, and so that I can start this Christmas shopping. That would, like, that's my desire. And people get caught up in thinking that God doesn't want us to have things, or we can't have what we desire. But we, not only do we have needs, but we have desires, and God wants to help us with our desires. So she finally, like, okay, I'm all in. God's my source. The next day at church, someone came up to her and handed her an envelope with $1,000 in cash and said, someone from our congregation has donated this to you for your family so that you can start your Christmas. And she went home and she's like, all the things. And I'm like, do you understand? Like, money is not your source. Other people are not your source. God is your source. And like, miracles can happen if you expand your mind.
And how, like, how amazing is that? Is it to think about that? Like, you have this infinite, complete, perfect being behind you that you are going to your source for. It's like that, exactly. That to me is just like all caps off because God's got it. Like, you can have what you want.
Right. We limit ourselves.
Yeah.
We're the ones that limit ourselves. And that's not the way it is at all. So just two things. I gave you my website, Lark Dean Galley, and you can go there to get your life's work if you want to figure that out. And then also I gave you the link to my webinar that I just did on identifying your money blocks, which people have had so much fun with that. And I've already helped people shift lives just by that webinar.
I love that. That's awesome. And I'll share that in the show notes. So we've kind of talked about how God is your source. And that's where you want to make your focus, right? And something that my mindset coach has helped me with is he calls it to and through. So like, when you are completely connected to your spirit and to God, you just want to be open and receive those like inspirations, and you just act on them. That's like the to and through. And as you are starting to take the limits off of your potential, you will start to receive more and more of those to and throughs, of those, you should do this or you should do that. And like, so this trip that I got back on, I went to Mexico. I went to Chiapas, Mexico, which is a really, you know, a state near the border of Guatemala and very poor people. And nobody speaks English there. It's not Americanized at all. It's not Cancun. Nobody speaks English. And I don't speak Spanish. And so I was very much out of my comfort zone. Like, I am in this country that, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, be careful. It's dangerous. And, oh, you know, make sure you're eating the right foods and all this stuff. So I was kind of apprehensive and a little bit nervous about it. And we are doing these lessons every single day where we're focusing on different aspects of mindset. And this day that we spent on the to and through was just like, just when you receive inspiration, just do it. Just don't think about how, don't think about why, just do it. And so for me, one of the big takeaways that I was like, I felt like language was such a barrier for me. And we met these wonderful people that taught us their way of life, that they taught us how they get clay from the ground and how they make pottery out of the clay. And we met an indigenous person. He was basically a tribe leader for an indigenous village. And we met his family and we got to know them. And I was so worried about the language barrier, but as I opened up, I was able to find a way to communicate with these people and to give them thanks and to express either my needs or have questions. Like, I would find a way to talk to them, whether that was Google Translate, whether that was talking to someone in my group that was like, they knew how to speak Spanish. Like, I would just be like, how do I say this? Because I wanted to be the one to communicate that to them. And the whole week, I had so many opportunities to do that, to get out of my comfort zone and to just find a way to communicate with these people who have no idea, you know, they don't know how to speak English. And it was amazing. It was one of those, like, I didn't think about how, and I did it. And as I did it, I started to feel just this bright love for the people that I was with and the love that God has for all of these people. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience that challenged me, but it was like, when I got out of my head about the anxieties and the worries that I was having about this country, I was able to open up this beautiful experience that I had with these people and for myself. Like, I had so much growth and it was amazing. I just wanted to share that experience because it's that getting that how out of your head of how do I communicate? How am I going to be safe? Like, all of these things. And it was like, I just needed to follow what God was trying to get me to do. And he filled me with all of this brightness and this love for these people. And it made the experience so much more. So with that connectedness to spirituality and everything, you talk about like money blocks and how to get rid of them. And I want to watch your webinar because it sounds awesome. Now, I have like read lots of books. My husband is an entrepreneur. So he's all about learning about how to be an entrepreneur and how to do it better and all this stuff. And so we've listened to lots of entrepreneurial books. And a lot of the themes in many of them is the theme of an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. So can you expand on that a little bit?
So our thoughts and our words are huge. They're bigger than you can even imagine. And so if we look at the universe as expanding, so, and God is the universe, he's expanding. So God is expanding his wealth, if you look at it that way. So if you look at us as his children, we are allowed to expand as well. And so the very first thing is to understand and to accept that God does want you to be wealthy. He does want to provide for your desires, and he does want you to expand. You think about in the Bible, the talents. He expects you to take what he's given you and multiply them and not to hide them. Because when we use our talents to help other people, it blesses his children. And so it's a beautiful way. I've also really come to understand with my son's suicide that we are all connected and we need each other. We cannot afford to, you know, be by ourselves. It's not good. It's not the way we were set up as humans. We need to get out, to interact, and to bring our talents out into the market, into the, you know, out there and say, this is what I'm offering. I would love to serve you. And we do that with the opportunity to serve, because then people will say, well, I would love to show up and, you know, have what you have here. Will you take what I have? Right.
Yes.
So it's super important to understand just the very basics that the world is abundant. Everything you want is available for you. And here's the thing though, it doesn't happen overnight. you start on that path with your abundance mindset, with feeling good and moving forward. But if you get to the point where, you know, like you're so close to receiving your goal, but you maybe can't see it, and you go, well, this stuff doesn't work, and you stop the process, then you start back at zero almost again. You have to like move forward towards the process. And so it's absolutely, I can tell you all the times that my goals have come like in the 11th hour, when I just like, nope, I have no idea. And if I don't know the answer, how it's going to be, I'm like, but I have a really strong belief that this goal is going to happen. And I'll be like, I am so excited because I have no idea how this is going to happen. I can't wait to see how God makes this happen because I don't know. And you get excited about things because you trust that it can happen. There are miracles to be had.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like too often we put money as such a negative thing. And I wanted to specify really what like an abundance mindset is. I feel like here's a scarcity mindset. That's like how an easy way to understand it is that you believe that if you have something, you take it from somebody else, right? That if you get a big house, you're taking money from somebody else to get a bigger house. And that's kind of the scarcity mindset. And that you feel like you're limited, that you can only make so much money because of the job that you have, that you can only do so much because of how much money you make. And an abundance mindset is there is so much out there that, I mean, it's about the innovation of creating, you know, the circumstance, the money that you want, and knowing that you're not taking it away from someone, you are giving in a way, and you're sharing your talents, and they're sharing their monetary wealth with you, or however it is that you're going to make wealth. But it's shifting your mindset from taking from somebody to giving. You're giving your talent, and you're being blessed for it. And I think this mindset was introduced to me probably about a year ago, and it's one of those things that it's really hard for me to shift, like, because sometimes I feel like the desires that I have are bad or wrong. And I think this is a big stigma that comes across in our culture, is that if you want a big house or vacations or to live comfortably, or even if I just want to have money to do things, that I'm wrong, that's evil, that I shouldn't want money. Kind of like we were talking about before, that, you know, money becomes your God if you want money. But having this mindset and this idea that when you're fulfilling your greater purpose, you're bringing value to other people's lives, you're bringing value to the world, and you will receive that value in kind. And knowing that your desires, like you said, matter to God, and He wants you to have the things that you want, and He is infinite. And you, I believe, we are infinite beings in a finite world, and we have infinite potential and infinite worth. So why are we saying, well, I can't do all of that, I can't have that? Of course, you know, Lark, you have a perspective of like, really, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. But that doesn't mean that you can't want it. And something that this 10X book has introduced is wanting what you want. Mm-hmm. You can want what you want.
Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that. And your wants are different from my wants, right?
Yeah.
And then in my webinar, I do talk about this ridiculous idea that money is limited. And I equate it money with energy. So for example, if you want more money, you need to bring more value to the marketplace. And how do we create value? Usually we put our energy into something, to creating something, right? So if we say, instead of saying like, oh, if Alyssa has more money, that means I have less. Let's change that. Think about it this way. Oh, if Alyssa has more energy, then I have less. Right? Money is just a factor of our energy, of what we bring to the table. Okay, is that true? I mean, like, that doesn't even make sense, right? Am I taking your energy?
Right.
Like, no, I'm not.
Right. So this is an experience I had on my, I'm just so jazzed about this mindset thing because I just came back from my trip. But I had a very powerful experience. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't bring income. This podcast doesn't bring in income right now. And I have desires that I want. I have things, and my husband has things that he wants. We have goals in life. We have things that we want to do, what we want to do with our kids, how we want our house, and things like that. And I often would get caught up in feeling guilty. Like, I don't bring income to our family. And so, like, why should I want these things? Like, and of course, I am the money spender in the house. And so I have a lot of guilt with that, because it's like, well, I spend money for our kids' clothes. I spend money for our groceries. And I went to this third world country where they live with no windows and doors, and they sleep on the floor or in hammocks, and like things like that. And like, I was just like, I was feeling guilty, and I was like, I don't bring in income. How can I desire these things? Right. And then I had this inspiration as I quieted my mind and I connected more with God, and I realized that, well, I can still desire those things, and I can attract those things to me as I'm fulfilling my greater purpose. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be the one to receive it, because me and my husband are one and the same. And if I'm the one supporting my husband in the ways that he is accumulating wealth and money for our family, that is a way of me attracting money and me attracting wealth to the things that I want. And this was a huge revelation for me. It was like, wow, so I don't have to be the one that brings in income. That doesn't mean I won't, and that doesn't mean that I can't, but I don't have to be the one. It doesn't have to be me. It could be me supporting my husband, and me just, my focus is to fulfill my greater purpose. And as I do that, I am bringing wealth to others, and I will be blessed because of it. It's that, it's the cycle.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You, like, you and your husband, you're a team, and his income is part of your income, right? So, I mean, you can manifest huge amounts for him to come in, because right now you're focusing on raising your family. You know, you've got young kids, and that's an important focus. And if your husband were to pay somebody to do all the jobs that you do, you'd be making six figures. So, you know, we have to look at, you know, just because you're not making money doesn't mean that you're not bringing value. You're creating value in your family. You're creating value in your home, and the lifestyle, the contentment there that you need to bring. And so you're coming with a joyous attitude about the decision that you and your husband have made, that yes, I'll stay home and I'll raise these kids while they're little. You know, that's the priority. You're coming in with joy. You're supporting him. You're not showing up in negative, you know, like, oh, I hate being here. I hate this. I hate that, right?
Oh, Lark, I was.
Yeah. But do you see the shift in how much joy you can have? Like, it's a decision you made. Yes. If you want to make another decision, you can make another decision. But consider the ramifications on the family.
Right, right. It's all about the decisions of the mindset and how you come into it. I wanted to ask you, how do you feel that gratitude comes into play with money?
Yep, super important. So let's say I do a gratitude journal every morning. That's how important I think it is.
Hey, me too.
Yep.
Me too.
So think if you only expressed gratitude for, if you woke up the next day and you only had the things that you expressed gratitude for, would you have very many things at all, right? And then what we focus on, we get more of. So if we're looking for the good and what we're grateful for, more will come to us. I remember in my prayer this morning, like, it was really seriously almost 100% gratitude. It wasn't a lot of ask. I just felt so connected to God, and I felt so grateful despite a lot of hardships in my life and my son's suicide being one of them. I feel that if I can continue to show up in joy despite all the hard things, that's my way of showing God that I am so grateful for all the good that I do have in my life, and not to dwell continually on the hard things. Not saying that I don't at times, but I try to see the good all the time. And I try to be so grateful for what I do have. And because I try to focus on that, then I see more good in my life.
So it was kind of crazy when I was doing this mindset vacation thing. We had kind of a crazy day, and the leader of the group, my mindset coach, he was trying to finish things up with a few of the people who had helped us. And it was like the last night we were there, and he was feeling very like overwhelmed and a little bit chaotic in his mind. And so he had us all come together and sit down, and he had us just spend like 5 minutes writing down the gifts that we received while we were there. and the shift and the mood was palpable. Like, you could feel it. And after we spent 5 minutes writing down the things that we were blessed with on this journey, on this vacation, then we were able to write down the things that we were blessed with as individuals, like who we are, what we were blessed with, what our talents were. And we shared after that. We had like a little powwow and we all shared all the things that we were grateful for and everything. But it was beautiful. It was amazing. It went from like everybody was kind of feeling a little bit on edge, and it was a long day. Everybody was exhausted. You know, we'd been going and going for the past 4 days. And then the shift that we felt, like so many people were in tears because of all of the things that they were grateful for. And when we are feeling like anxiety or depression or just feeling caught up in our world and stressed out and feeling like things aren't going our way, taking a minute to just think about the good things. And I shared this on a previous episode it was my gratitude episode, but it's like, start with something small. Start with, I'm grateful I have shoes on my feet. I am grateful that I breathe air. I am grateful that I have eyes to see and ears to hear. Like, little things that maybe we take them for granted sometimes, but it's like, if you have little, then start with little. Start with the little things. And then as you begin to see the blessings that God has given you, your blessings will expand. They will grow exponentially. And I've felt that. And I feel like that is a big aspect of money. It's a money blocker. When you start to be grateful for the things that you've been given, the abundance that you have, you will see how abundant life can be and how much, you know, God wants to bless you. Okay, so I wanted to ask you specifically, being God-centered can sometimes put money in a negative light. So how can you see money in a positive light and stay connected spiritually? We've kind of touched on this a little bit.
So I feel like money is a tool. Money represents freedom to me. And if I have money, then I have the opportunity to bless other people's lives, to take care of me and my family, to support my children when they need support. I don't see anything wrong with money. It's when we focus on money above all else and we don't understand that it's a tool from God. So I believe that, you know, we're here on this earth, and two of the lessons that we're here to learn are time and money, because outside of this earth, those don't exist. And so we need to understand how to value and use our time. We need to understand how to value and use our money. We use money like a tool. We don't use people. And so I want you to think about this. Who do you think obsesses and thinks more about money? People that don't have it or people that do have it?
People who don't have it. It's something that is talked about all the time. Well, we don't have money to do that. I can't do that because I don't have money. I got to wait for my next paycheck. I got to, you know, like, well, I'll never get there because I don't have money to do that.
So that's what I want to point out, is that sometimes we think, oh, the people that have money, that's all they think about. That's all they're obsessed with. But just like you said, I promise you, the ones that have money are not thinking, they're not making all their decisions. Every day-to-day moment is not about the money. It's about the freedom. And so people that are trapped in this money trap, and they are making every decision and every thought is based on whether or not they'll have the money for it, they're the ones that aren't free. They're the ones who have trapped themselves. And so it's a matter of getting out of that living paycheck to paycheck, of just working to get by. So many people are at that place, and that doesn't feel good. That's not where God wants us to be. He wants us to master, and I'm going to call it the game of money, because once you understand the rules, it's a game and it's fun.
Yes. I love that. That's huge for people. Talk to me more about like the different money blocks that we tend to have. And I'm sure you'll go over this in your webinar.
So I do talk about that in the webinar. Some things to think about is it generational. That plays a huge focus. You know, how was your mother around money? How was your father? How were each of your grandparents, both sets of grandparents? I mean, we have learned behaviors coming down generationally. Another way to look at it is patterns. Do you see what money patterns are showing up in your life? I have a friend who he sells services, and he will have a big sale. He'll get lots of clients and he'll have lots of money, and he will spend every single penny on going out to eat food because he likes his food. He doesn't own a house. He likes food. And so every 3 to 4 months, he's like, oh my gosh, I don't have any money. And he has no assets, but this is a cycle. And just being his friend for the last few years, I can see the cycle.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, oh, dude, I can help you.
I can help you. I love that. I can help you.
You know, not everybody wants help. They're caught in their cycle.
That was what I was going to say. Okay, what do you want? Because everybody's wants are different. And you don't have to want... You don't have to want a big house and a big life and all of those things. You don't have to want that. But don't limit yourself on what you do want, right? Like, everybody wants something, and that's okay. The biggest thing with the want what you want, don't justify your wants. You don't have to justify it to anybody.
You want it because you want it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if your 2-year-old comes to you and wants something, they just want it. They don't know why they want it. They want it.
They don't care why they want it either. They just want it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we all have different desires in life. One of mine from an early age was I wanted to travel. Like, I love to travel. And many years ago, I thought, isn't that a waste of money? You know, or I'm spending all this money traveling. But then I thought, no, it brings me joy. And it allows me to go out into the world and see God's beautiful creations, because I love to go to nature. I'm not all about, you know, like Disneyland is not for me. I love to be in the mountains or anywhere, you know, with nature. And I'm like, I am honoring God because I'm saying I value these creations that you have made to the point where I'm going to put my energy into earning the money to spend so I can go and enjoy what you've created. So think of it that way, as like, what you want, God put that desire in you. Desire means of God. He put the desire in you, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's like, and just don't justify it. You don't have to justify it to anybody. You know, when people ask you why, just because I want it. Just like a kid.
Yeah.
Because I want it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I love that, especially because desire does come from God. And there's so many things that I've desired in my life that I'm like, I feel wrong wanting that. I feel wrong. But now I'm like, I don't have to justify it. I want it. It's okay. And I love this idea of the manifestation that you talked about. I love the examples that you shared. There are so many times when I've looked back on my life and realized I manifested this. Like, this was something, the trip to Mexico that I just came back from, I manifested that. I have wanted to travel my whole life. Like, since I was very little, I've always wanted to see the world and different cultures and different peoples. And at one point, I wanted to be an anthropologist because I wanted to see other places and other people. And I was sitting in Chiapas, Mexico, on a boat, in a river, and I thought, wow, look at where I'm at. Look at where I am, because this is what I desired. And I'm following my heart in what God has placed in my heart. And I'm honoring the fact that he's placed that in my heart. And I think that's, people need to let go of the justification. Mm-hmm. You don't need to justify yourself to anybody, especially not God. God put a desire in your heart and you need to follow it.
Absolutely.
We have just a little bit more time. Lark, did you have any other words of wisdom that you wanted to share?
You know, I just want people to understand that money is not bad. You know, it's the love of money. And the thing for me is that, you know, I look at items so different now. After my son died, we sold our big house. We downsized. We moved to a condo. I am very happy in my much smaller condo because I don't have to spend the time and the resources taking care of a big house. The house was okay when I had the kids. And now it's, you know, just my husband and me. So I'm happy where I am. The things that used to bring me joy or having or buying, that doesn't really do it for me anymore. I love experiences. Experiences really, you can remember experiences a lot more than just like things. Think about that when you're, you know, getting presents for your kids. Look at experiences. I'll tell you this story. Back when my youngest was 5, so I was 8, 6, and 5 at the time. And we had to tighten our belt. Like, I was in corporate, my husband was working a big job. We both had really big jobs, but we were going through some financial times. We happened to have two mortgages because we had bought another house that we moved into. We couldn't sell the other house and we were trying to rent it. So it was just really tight financially. And our entire monthly entertainment budget was $20 for a family of five. Like, that was if we wanted to eat out, if we wanted to do this.
Del Taco.
Yeah. So that was the entire entertainment budget. And I chose to spend it at Blockbuster. So back in the day, for like $19, you could go to Blockbuster. And as a parent, I'm like, oh my gosh, my kids are missing out on so much. We can't afford this. We can't afford that. You know, I would take them to Blockbuster like once a week. You know, you'd go pick out a movie. Well, my youngest daughter, who was five at the time, she told me recently, she goes, you know, Mom, when we would go to Blockbuster and I could pick out any movie I wanted, that was the best time ever. And I started to laugh because here as a parent, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm restricting my family. We can't do a lot. And from my five-year-old's perspective, she was like ecstatic that she got to pick her movie. And so, you know, just shift. Sometimes what we think is a terrible, awful experience for our family, actually, the kids might be having a lot more fun than we think. You don't have to have money to have joy. That disassociate those two. You can be happy right now, without anything, just being grateful for what you have and sitting in the joy and being present with yourself.
I love that, because we did talk a lot about how, you know, we can have anything that we want and money is one of those things, but we don't have to have money to have joy.
No. And that's the whole point. It's they're not at all tied. And when you learn the secret, that's part of the secret.
You open that box. Yeah. It's the part of the secret is letting go of, and it's that God or the money is your God. It's letting go of that concept of like, you need money to enjoy life. You don't. Yeah. You don't. You have so many blessings. And when you see those blessings, they grow. Mm-hmm. And that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to have joy and he wants us to grow and to become more of who we already are. I love that you mentioned that today, because it's already inside you. That's what this podcast is about. It's already inside you. You just have to peel back some of those layers and let it through.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Lark, for joining me on this podcast today. We missed Michael today, but hopefully we can catch him next time. I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your message. And I think that it's going to touch a lot of people and that you are inspired to do it for a reason. So thank you so much for joining us today. If you guys like this episode, please go ahead and hit the subscribe button and share it with your friends and family. And reach out to us. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear. Lark would love to hear from anybody who has any questions. She's got a whole program, and that'll be in the show notes if you guys want her website and her webinar that she did on money blockers. But thank you for joining us on You Already Are, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.